You have your Bibles. Let's turn in them to Job and chapter 16. Job chapter 16, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. Job 16. And we'll begin in verse 1. These are God's words. They are sufficient for us and perfect. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company, and thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth, mine enemy, sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth, they have smitten me on the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly, and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands, also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. And those are God's words. The last chapter, you remember, after Eliphaz was speaking, we come now to Job's reply. Eliphaz had come and rebuked Job once again. And Job replies that when his friends should be comforting him and caring for him, they're rebuking him and really, in some sense, as he describes here, torturing him. And Job speaks to this through verse 5, even verse 2, calls them miserable comforters. And then through verse 16, he represents his situation as very deplorable. Horrible situation, describing before the Lord what his friends have done to him and how they have hurt him, but also then holds that he has not sinned, but appeals to God's righteous judgment from the unrighteous rebuke of his friends, that he would be examined by the Lord. Beloved, when even your friends attack you, your family attacks you, people in the church attack you, what do you do? Do you cry out to the Lord and turn to Him? You make your complaint to Him? You plead with Him to examine you, to show you the truth, to bring about justice in the matter? To make all things right? That's what Job does. And that's what we are called to do. You are called, like Job, to go boldly to the throne of grace. Job is a great example to us in that. Every time we are hearing Job, his friends are rebuking him and rebuking him and rebuking him. And what does Job do every single time? He seeks the face of God. He might complain a little, but he every time seeks God's face. And in that, he is a godly example to us. That when we are persecuted or oppressed, even by our friends, there's something not going on that's right with our friends. There's need of reconciliation, something like that. Go to the face of God. Seek His face and plead before the throne. And that's what we are again reminded of here. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, often when we are overwhelmed, going through trials, afflicted or oppressed, even rebuked, our first response might be to seek to defend ourselves. And Job has shown that that's what he often does as well. But Father, the first thing we ought to do is what Job shows us at the latter part of this chapter, and that is to seek the face of God, to seek Your face. And so, Father, we plead, as He is a good example in this, a godly example, just as Jesus, before His persecutors, before He goes to the cross, what does He do? But He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and He prays to You. And He seeks Your face, even when He knows what is going to come is coming. He seeks Your face. And so, Father, help us to follow our Savior. And we're thankful for that verse in Hebrews that upon Christ's sacrifice and His interceding for us, we are commanded to boldly go to the throne of grace, to approach near unto You, our Father, through the Savior, by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, make us bold in our prayers. Make us to be quick to turn unto You and quick to turn from the world and ourselves. We often like to trust in the world and often like to trust in ourselves, at least at the first. But at the first, we must turn unto You. As we look through the Old Testament, how often the nation of Israel sought to defeat their enemy in their own strength, not turning to You, trusting in the ark or trusting in things and weapons of war or horses or chariots. And they every time failed. But when they turned to You first and prayed and sought Your face, You delivered them from their enemies. Every time. And so, Father, we ask that You would enable us by Your Spirit and strengthen us by Your grace to do this. For we, still in our sin, still have that fleshly lust remaining, the lusting after the world and ourselves and idolizing ourselves. We often, we cannot do this ourselves. We need Your Son. We need His righteousness. And we need the strength of the Spirit. So, Father, equip us and enable us for this great work of seeking Your face. And, Father, we seek Your face today as the sufferings and oppressions of Christians continues to grow in our nation, as we see it exponentially greater, the persecution and suffering in other nations. And Father, we ask that You would prepare us for such suffering. Even today, when even in the church, when we profess the gospel and proclaim it, people in the church come back and say, well, that's not very nice. And that is not very winsome of you. How are you to win a brother when you're calling them a sinner? Now, Father, we ask that you would give us boldness and zeal to proclaim the gospel truly and faithfully, and not worry about those even in the church who might try to come against us. Even that same thing when we're dealing with the sins of the world and the sins of this nation, calling adultery sin and calling for the nation to turn from it, also an abortion and murder. And yet there's people in the church who stand up and say, no, you can't say that. You can't go to the nation and call them to rule according to God's word. And yet that's exactly what you command us to do. To go to our nation's rulers and call them to kiss the Son, lest they perish in the way. And so, Father, make us faithful in that, even before our magistrate. Father, we ask that you would make us to be a faithful people who love your word, as we'll hear this evening in Romans, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so, Father, we pray for this congregation. We're thankful for those who have gone and evangelized and gone door to door yesterday. We pray that you would bless those who go in the future, and their words you would give them from your word. And the gospel would be presented clearly, and people would hear and come and believe unto salvation because you sent your Holy Spirit and changed their hearts. Father, we ask that you would raise up more laborers for the harvest. The fields are white for harvest. So we pray for more laborers. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify this congregation. You would cleanse us of our sin. Many sins that we have. Pride. Selfishness. Hurting others. Talking behind others' backs. Gossiping and slandering even. Father, we ask that you would turn our hearts to you, and that you would give us hearts that love you and love our neighbor. And so cleanse us of our remaining sin. And those who are even your covenant children, turn their hearts to you today. You have declared holy. Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, make them holy and righteous, and clothe them with the righteousness of your Son. Pray for any in the womb, you would do the same. Father, we plead and ask, even as we heard last Lord's Day evening, that we are not just souls, we're not just concerned with our souls, but our bodies too. Because our bodies and souls belong to you. And so, Father, we call upon you to bring healing to those bodies that are struggling, weak, frail, who might be sick today. Pray for Dina, her feet, also her energy to strengthen her. We pray for Phil. We're thankful that his surgery went well and he's home. And ask that you would strengthen him and help him to tolerate the pain. But Father, we ask that even in the pain, that he would be turned to the gospel and remember that the pain that your Son, our Savior, endured was so much and infinitely greater. And so give him hope in that, and hope to look to his Savior. We're thankful that you spared his life. And Father, we pray that you would bring him back to worship soon, if that would be your will. Father, we also ask for your help with April Watson. Pray that you would grant her healing, if that would be your will. In our perspective, and in doctors' opinions, it doesn't seem to be your will. But we leave that to you. And if she is to die soon, we pray that she would die well as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, your Son, in every breath, just as we would pray for each one of us. You've numbered all of our days. And so, Father, As the days come nearer, Father, we pray that we would live and die well, according to your word and by your spirit. We pray that you would be with the Watson family and hear Audrey with us. Pray that you would comfort them and give them hope and joy in Christ. And the days they have left spending with their mom, that they would be a blessing for many years to come. And for those living in the family and the home still, Father, we pray for especially for them, for Aaron and the children, that you would cause that there be no rebellion against you, but that this would lead to the salvation of all, and you would call them all to yourself. But uphold them, Father, and comfort your people who are brokenhearted and downcast in soul, or struggling in their hearts. Lift them up and encourage them in Christ today. All these things, Father, we plead for your mercy as we've come before your throne as sinners. Show mercy, but also, Father, show us grace and favor. Not that we are deserving, of course, but we are deserving only in Christ your Son. Christ is deserving. He is worthy. And so, Father, as we are in union with Him, we pray that you would find us worthy as well. In Christ alone, we pray in His name. Amen.